Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, John, the initial assessment that I have is that it's basically a ban. The administration is denying that it is, but in essence, what the policy boils down to is after the 12th of April, you cannot, if you happen to be transgender and you are starting things like transition surgery and things like that nature, you can't do that anymore. You have to remain assigned to your biological sex. So in other words, if you're born a male, you stay a male. That's the basic idea behind it. From a military readiness standpoint, what you're talking about here is significant because, you know, strictly from that aspect alone, certainly military medical resources being used to change somebody's sex or to, do the kinds of things that a transgender situation would require, that does sap resources from other issues and especially from caring for other soldiers who have, in the extreme case, war wounds or, some other situation that there is a regular military medical case, that becomes quite the issue. So I think what the administration was trying to do is thread the needle between, saying it's not a ban, but actually instituting the kinds of policies that do ban that kind of service in the military by these kinds of people at this point.
It really is an interesting situation that I find myself in because I used to alienate conservatives because I said gay men and women should be able to serve openly in the military precisely because there was no special accommodation needed for these individuals. You go in, you do your job, what you do outside of your work shouldn't be relevant, and if your behavior is inappropriate in any way, you should be disciplined just like anybody else who behaves inappropriate. And I still think that was the right decision. In this case, I make all the gay guys angry and the gay activists angry because this is the exact opposite argument they're making. Special accommodation, special medical care, special societal changes for people who are going through these transitions. It seems to me that is a huge distraction. So it's... I'm actually thinking that the president's making a good decision here, which will infuriate some people that I know. How many transgendered people are serving in our military today? I've seen this number 15,000, which kind of blows me away. I can't believe that's true. Do you think that's right?
I don't think that's right. I think it's more like 1,500. Based on the things that I've seen, in my 26 years of military service, I never once ran into a service member who was transgender. Now, after serving in the military, I have met people who are transgender and who did serve in the military. Obviously there were people that had, these kinds of, the so-called gender dysphoria a medical diagnosis. Those people, are certainly there. And, this military is a cross-section of society. So if you find it in society, you're going to find it in the military. From this standpoint, I would say that, the numbers some advocates are using seem to be overblown. I don't believe it's that high a number. However, there's always the possibility that as society changes, that the number would increase. And there's no doubt that could happen.
Real fast, I guess there's some dissension amongst military leadership, and gay men especially are told if you have any position against the transgender community serving, well, you should keep your mouth shut because you weren't allowed to serve. I assume women probably are told the same thing by the transgender activist, which kind of robs them of their autonomy to make reasonable judgments of their own. Do you think that is where this dissension comes from? Is other minorities within the military, or is there a real concern amongst leadership that this ban may not be correct.
There is some concern, I think, among the leadership that there are issues with the ban. And there are certainly reports out there that in units where there are transgender members, or there's at least one serving, that there have been no signs of impact, from not only from a morale standpoint, but also from a cohesion of the force standpoint. And a lot of people have, who make the argument against transgender members serving in the military, they will cite that, cite unit cohesion, unit morale, and deployability as among the reasons not to do this. The deployability part is where the advocates for transgender service members may have a more weaker argument if you look at it just completely from that standpoint. And so there are, I think, some issues here that haven't been resolved. But, in many situations, I'm, kind of like mind with you that the accommodations that are required, especially for deployment, are ones that really need to be looked at before you allow members, of the military who have this kind of a situation, before you allow them to serve.
Colonel Cedric Layton, I appreciate the candid and thoughtful conversation about this. Former Joint Chiefs of Staff, Deputy Director, and the President of Cedric Layton Associates. Always glad when you can join us on the show. Thanks.
It's always my pleasure, John. Thanks so much for having me.